This is Euphonic Frequencies.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Euphonic Frequencies. My name is Dharam, DJ and producer from Mumbai. And today, we have the revisit episode airing in the form of an audio podcast. On this week's episode, we have Farhan Rehman, one of our favorite guest mixers, telling us about his future plans, his workflow, and his releases, and so on. Stay tuned to listen to the amazing insights that he has to offer for all our listeners. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Euphonic Frequencies. My name is Dharam, DJ and producer from Mumbai. I go by the name of Metanoia. Metanoia. Okay? And here sitting with me... None of that. And here sitting with me today is one of our favorite guest mixers. It's Farhan Rehman. Yay! Woo! So how's your winter been, Farhan? How's your last 3 months been?
It's been slightly hectic. I've been occupied with multiple things. Mm-hmm. So most of it has been DJing, and I just appeared for my piano Trinity School of London's exam for grade 3 last week, which went okay. So that has been my prime focus for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
So December, I mean, it gets slightly hectic usually for DJs.
Yeah.
So that's just my priority right now.
Yeah, that's just how it is, I guess. So tell me about your recent remix that you just did for Kamshor.
So that was supposed to be done early part of the year.
Okay.
But I think releases take their own time.
Okay.
So initially I was not too sure if I should do it because, you know, I didn't feel that I could do justice to it, basically. But yeah, eventually I did end up doing it. And yeah, the reception overall has been good. A lot of people think, it ends up good in the DJ sets.
Yeah, you have submitted it to a local pool, I guess. And
the record label sends it out to DJs, and it has been voted best mix by a lot of DJs.
Oh yeah, that is incredible. Are you listening? Are you even listening?
hashtag number five.
That's supposed to be cut. At this stage in your career, where were you a year ago?
I think around this time, I just started my residency at Hakkasan.
Yeah.
And honestly, around this time last year, I didn't have a lot to do actually.
So like you were just like, frequenting clubs on weekends, stuff like that?
No, so that was not possible a lot due to residency, but then I've just been occupied by different things. Like, I think it's around that time I started focusing a lot on learning the piano. Mm-hmm. So I've been working on that skill.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the residency, looking for gigs.
Can you tell me about your residency at Hakkasan?
Hakkasan.
I call it Hakkasan, but yeah, it's common now, but Hakkasan.
So it's Hakkasan.
Hakkasan.
San.
Hakkasan. There you heard it.
Yeah. So I think it's been more than a year now, and the music is mostly just house and deep house. Mostly it's just bar-wise, bar music.
Yeah, correct. It's for the dinner crowd, right?
Yeah, it's not a very dancey place.
Okay.
It's just easy kind of music, basically.
Cool.
That's right.
And what is your average slot time over there? Like,
I start by 8:30 and done by 12:31.
Okay. And what kind of? I'm sure that this type of a residency over a period of time has definitely helped you gauge
There is no doubt. I think this is my suggestion to any DJ who is starting out. I think you should definitely do residencies for the first 2-3 years of your career. That helps you so much in terms of knowing how to build a playlist, knowing how to read a crowd. You know, sometimes you may do your best and you realize that, you know, it's just not your night. So it helps you develop a lot of your sense as a DJ. So that is definitely something. So basically that is like being paid how to be a good DJ.
because I think the word residency itself has a certain
vibe to it. The people are like closed in the start only, saying that no, wow, I don't want to do a residency, I want to do my own thing.
No, that's a misconception by people. People think, oh, I mean, this is a very common attitude.
Yeah.
A lot of people from our scene that, you know, this is the only music, this is my music, I don't play anything else. But then playing other kinds of music, be it anything, be it hip hop or whatever it is, it teaches you a lot in terms of understanding the crowd. That is, I mean, I don't think DJ, no DJ thinks that DJing is a beat matching. That is that is just a method of, that's just an approach.
Yeah, that's
but
an approach.
I think, I feel DJing is more about track selection, reading the crowd, understanding the energy of the room. And that is exactly what residency does. I mean, let's be practical. You started as a DJ. You just get what, 1 gig a month? 1 gig a month?
Yeah, yeah.
You won't really learn that much. But if you're playing multiple times a week, you know, what you would learn independently in the span of 2 years, you can do that in a matter of months.
And this can, is only possible if one aims to get a residency, or one has a certain setting where he's able to play every week, week in, week out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is one opportunity that you have to look for.
You have to look for.
I mean, it's not like I decided that I want to be DJ and it's just fell into my lap. I think for the first 1 year, I was
just looking out for it.
Yeah, I was more or less jobless. I didn't have any work to do.
Correct.
I would like maybe do 1 gig, like 1 gig in 2 months or something like that. So a good friend of mine called Yatin gave me this, so he referred me this place called Tertulia in Shivaji Park. And this is 2 years ago, and that is how it started for me.
Okay.
And that's been a huge learning curve, that's been a huge blessing. Especially around the time that I joined in October. So that's like the prime time, that is a peak season.
Peak season.
So you learn so much, and I can just call it a blessing.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure that residency is definitely a blessing in disguise. You know, the main reason for doing this video and this particular segment where we reach out to guest mixers, the main reason for that is we have we just want to fill in the knowledge gap.
Okay.
So would you like to give an example of your approach where you're like, look, I had this one focus and then I went deeper into it, or you have any other sort of?
Even in knowledge, there are so many branches. It's not just DJing or technical. I think you need to focus on your people skills as well.
Cool.
That is how I started. And
work on your people skills.
Yeah, work on your people skills. Learn how to approach people. You know, be absolutely humble. And I don't think I need to say that. But and with time, you, like I said, like knowing who to approach and all those things. So with time, you tend to develop a filter. You tend to understand and realize who are the kind of guys you should stick around with. So essentially, you need to be around people who share the same value systems as you do. That is a
plus. Yeah, that's a thing to look up.
I mean, I don't think that's a plus, that's a priority.
Correct.
You should be around the people who share the same values as you.
Correct.
Is very important. That is how you form a long-term association. And that is how you grow together.
I guess that's how you get motivated as well. Because
I mean, that's one of the things. Like, I used to be very isolated with people. And you know, that also affected my motivation quite frequently. So it's very, very important. Even if they're not into the same kind of music, but you do need to be around people who share the same ideologies as you. That is very important. Regardless, but let me tell you, in a competitive market, the learning has to be very, very aggressive in the initial phase. Of course, it never stops. I mean, that is how it do. That is the approach. If there's no growth, then it ends.
You're stagnant.
Then it's over.
Yeah.
But in a very competitive market in today's time, where it's not just CDJ, that filter, that, you know, that barrier has come down. For example, look at the piano. You will have to play for a couple of years to be able to call yourself a pianist.
Correct.
In DJing, the entry barrier has come down. Initially, you have to learn CDJ and beat matching for a year. Now it's stacked up.
Correct.
So the accessibility has increased.
And so everybody has access to it.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's but on the downside,
you just have internet access.
Point being that, you know, everyone else is going to have one up above you. So you really, really, really need to be aggressive on your skills.
Correct. It's definitely, to all the newcomers out there, the message to get across is, I think, to be on top of your game.
Yeah.
Every time.
Be on top of the game, be on top of the doors.
Like how they say that opportunity, like, oh, the opportunity only comes if you're like completely prepared for it.
Yeah, complete. That's true.
That's true.
And point and another thing I would stress is initially don't be so choosy in terms of work. Mm. Just go for it. Mm. You
that's
may think that this is not what you want to do right now,
mm.
but that is going to help you learn so much.
Correct.
That is, I think initially at least 2-3 years you should be open to play all kinds of music. Some underground people will not agree with this, that's okay. That is my opinion and it's my opinion after all.
True.
So, be open to play all kinds of music,
mm.
learn the skills, learn people skills.
Mm.
If you're going to do residency, then it's very important for you to be on good terms with the management.
Mm.
Learn how to be good with the management and the staff.
Correct.
All these things really matter and this is what residency does. Like, you know, it really forms you, it shapes you up.
Let's talk about your productions. Can you throw some light on what you have been releasing in the past years? And
in the past year, okay. So this year I've only had 2 releases.
Correct.
And last year was Quata Sarveen. That's how we were in touch. But my first ever like official release was for a remix competition for Josh Swing.
Correct.
And then I entered it.
Mm.
It was a remix competition. It did not win, but then I got a label from his email from his
label
saying that you know it's still good and we want to release it.
And what? How did that email show up? It just showed up randomly in your mailbox.
Yeah, I was not expecting it at all. Like, I didn't even expect to win, to be honest. I just gave my best shot.
Yeah.
Because free samples, right?
Yeah.
You get free samples in remix competitions.
Yeah,
so
you get free samples.
For the sake of free samples, I downloaded, I remixed it. And yeah, it turned out to be good. And eventually,
and
like,
you
know,
don't have to be so good that you got an email from the label itself.
I mean, honestly, when I saw the header,
huh.
I was just telling myself that this better not be a joke. An email from, you know, Josh Swing's own recordings, I thought, okay, maybe it's a promotional email or something.
Correct, correct.
But it said that, hey Farhan, since you did not win, but it's still good and you want to release it. And that was a huge confidence booster for me that, you know, I'm just going as per my taste and
yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
Josh Swing is responding.
It's
and
like a great validation point.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
for
validation, exactly. Yeah.
For a producer.
So having an email from Josh Swing, it's a big deal.
It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty cool and congratulations on that. I didn't know this.
Thanks.
This interview, I think that's the whole purpose of this interview.
No, so that is how I began actually, and this is roughly around 3 or 4 years ago.
Hmm.
And then my first release was again on Windhorse. I think at this time I was doing social media for this Indian label called Polish.
Okay.
So I was just starting out and I said that, you know, I'm just looking to do something and that's how I started. And then I got in touch with Hamza.
Okay.
So I made this track. At that time it did not have any name. I sent it to Hamza.
Yeah.
He loved it. And he released it. So that was my first original release. It came out on a compilation called 5 Years of Windows Sampler. So I called it Keep Calm and Listen.
Okay.
So the even that track got well received from Indian community.
Mm-hmm.
That, it was also played on Radio 1. So every Thursday they play, non-Bollywood
music. Non-Bollywood
music,
yeah.
Independent music, basically.
So that is incredible, like
yeah.
how this journey has unfolded
yeah.
from a simple remix.
It's
to
funny because, you know, meeting Hamza
hmm.
and then releasing on that. So most of my association is still with Windhorse.
Correct.
So I met Solver through that. That's how we connected.
Okay.
And then like, you know, a couple of releases later.
Yeah.
Last year, so we met. Me and Solver met 2 years ago in Goa.
Hmm.
And then, you know, we had a wave then.
Hmm.
And then we decided, okay, you know, let's make a track together because we've always been talking on Facebook.
Correct.
Let's do something.
So you all didn't even meet.
No. That was the first time, and then we decided, okay, you know, we have a wave then. Let's do something, and that's how we started Quata.
Okay.
So that whole track was a dedication to the. So we had a label showcase at Antares in Goa,
hmm.
which again is this December end, which I'm playing for again.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm playing again.
And Antares and Goa, you said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So the whole track is a dedication to that entire vibe we had. You
hmm.
know, it was more of housey and afro and
playful,
like very lively kind of a vibe.
Correct.
So the whole track is dedication to that.
Okay, so that means you actually did something that you felt.
Yeah, definitely. And at the same time, I just mentioned like a couple of minutes ago, I was just tired of my whole deep house sound. Like, you know,
I just wanted to change it.
Yeah, I wanted to do something different.
Correct.
That place and that vibe gave me a lot of inspiration to do something.
So what I'm getting from this is that
you did two of the most important things that somebody is supposed to do. Okay, there are three, but I'll touch on the last one later. But two of the most important things are that get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's one, but very important. And two, adapt and innovate, because clearly that's exactly what you did, especially after the Joshua and remix that you did.
Yeah, you have to be.
You had to like get out into a different zone.
You have to be yourself.
So you tapped into Stalwart, with Stalwart you made a track.
Yeah.
And you tapped into that particular genre.
Yeah, so you know that got very well received again. It was played by Hanan, Nick Ward, Eke Klein.
Okay.
I think so many DJs from Bombay played it.
So it was a pretty big release.
Yeah, regardless of people played house or progressive, they wanted the track and
they wanted like...
It is just that track that fits in any DJ set and it is going to work. You know, it's a very outdoor-oriented track.
It is. Okay.
But the fact that, you know, you have two legends playing it in front of like hundreds of people, that is a major value.
That's almost all like support, like that's...
Yeah, in terms of support, that was not interesting.
Yeah, that was... So, that's interesting because... now you can try to join the dots about piano. Like, how does the piano angle fit into all of this?
So, I think I started 2-3 years ago. A very insincere attempt.
Okay.
But I was very serious about learning piano because I felt that this is what is going to take my music to the next
level. Correct.
So, the first 2 years, it was pretty on and off.
Okay.
Because I was just still trying to do other things. Yeah, busy with residency and so many things. You know, it was 5 days a week, so I had very good time. So for the first 2 years, I just made sure my foundations were good. The chords and scales, you know, it just became a part of me. More specifically, if you're learning an instrument or any art or skill, make sure that your teacher is very good. It is very important. You know, you don't want a teacher who's trying to suppress you by his way of teaching. You want a teacher who encourages your own way of playing, your own way of teaching, your own way of expression, and he just guides you.
Correct.
For the first 3 years, my goal has only been growth.
Correct.
It has not been about reaching at a stage or playing at a festival. I think my whole purpose, even now, is to just grow as a person overall. That is just how my approach is. Like, my ultimate aim is for my music and my work to be appreciated the same way I have grown up appreciating others.
Correct.
Sasha
has
been my most favorite. Like, he's the most inspiring artist I know.
I think the next question that I was going to ask you was this. So, what's why you're inspiring for
this? I think it's a hard pick, no doubt.
You can name your top three.
It's going to be Anjaz.
Okay.
Sasha. And BT.
Agile, Sasha and BT, that's quite a combination, I must say.
Yeah.
Enough to get you out of your comfort zone.
I have definitely, like, I've studied all their albums, especially BT. Like, you know, I used to be obsessed with this production, but because this production was not just about songwriting, it was accompanied by an architecture.
Correct.
You know, the way his songs are structured.
Engineering, structure.
The sound design, everything.
Correct.
And off late, I've been listening to a lot of classical pieces because that's been my main focus.
So the last question that I wanted to touch upon is, why did you choose to produce or DJ under your own name and not choose a moniker?
There's a very simple reason. I didn't find anything good.
That's all. Like, you just had to stick your own name.
Yeah, and I think at that time, I actually did have different aliases. One is called Mega Minds.
Okay.
And then Chillam for hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah, I came for that gig. Was the same gig?
Thank you. That is the first time we met as well.
Yeah, that was the first time we met.
For that particular gig, I had practiced really.
Really hard.
Because, you know, in dance music, it's relatively easier to mix, but something like hip hop, you know, you want to make sure that your verses don't clash.
Correct.
It's very important for you to just listen and know the music. You have to know your music in and out. So
let's wrap this up. You have any words for our listeners at Euphonic? Since you are topping the guest mix charts of Euphonic.
Yeah, I do actually. I won't stop now. Yeah, aap mujhse milna chahte hain. Khareediye Mountain Dew aur inspire mujhse milne ka mauka. Aur what is the other word? Like my page. Come to my gigs, don't ask for guest list.
And buy music.
Yeah, buy my music. Please buy my music. Share my page, follow me on Instagram.
This is Euphonic Frequencies.